This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 398 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com. And dying or sleeping on the other end of Skype is none other than Glyn Lavender from CreativePhotoWorkshops.com.au. How are you, mate? Sleeping or dying?
Nap time, dude. What are you doing? Right. I nap from 9:30 till 11. What is this?
Yeah. 10:30 in the morning. Something different.
What are you doing to me? Keeping me up.
Sorry, mate. <Yeah. laughs>
Mind you, if I slept through the recording of the podcast, it might be a better podcast.
It'd be shorter.
I'll just be here in the background, but just yell if you need something important, clarifying or something. I mean, I've just got rid of the kids to school's holiday program, and yeah, I thought here's a chance for a nap. Next thing, you're on the phone. Hello.
Yeah. How's your week been?
It's just been 2 weeks, really.
So it has.
There you go.
So it has. How dare you? How dare you go out for date night with the wife on podcast recording night?
Was it even that?
The cheek. The hide.
I can't remember why I went out. It doesn't happen often.
was it an anniversary or something?
No. I just can't remember.
Do you know when your anniversary is?
Well, here's the problem. I've been married twice, 5 days apart.
Oh,
so March 11 and March 16.
Hey, I've been married twice, 1 day apart.
Oh, no. So what's your plan? What's your plan for making sure you've got the right date?
Oh, I always remember our wedding anniversary now as just being 2 days after Anzac Day. That's the way I remember it.
So you've got some frame of reference,
yeah,
at least.
Exactly.
I've got nothing. But the only thing I've ever managed to come out with is I buy the anniversary present in February, stick it under the bed.
Right.
And then on the morning of the anniversary, whether it's the 11th or 16th, I still don't know, whichever one it is, my wife wakes up, she goes, "Happy anniversary." I go, "What? Yes. Yes, it is."
You know? Nice.
I'm always organised, but I've no idea what day it is.
So, from this, we can surmise that your wife doesn't vacuum under the bed very often.
No. I've been cleaning of the house, so right. Yeah, it's up to me. And that's very sexist of you, assuming a woman vacuuming. I mean, if the ladies of the podcast, and for the men, in fact, should also just come down on you like a ton of bricks. Absolutely racist, sexist, elitist, focused.
Hey, I do the vacuuming in this house.
I've always been, I think with my wife came back to the other, I think it was a couple of anniversaries ago, I can't remember exactly when, but she says, it's our anniversary next week. I said, oh, it's an important one, isn't it? She goes, how many years do you think we've been married? Said, this is our 10th, isn't it? She goes, no, it's our 14th. So I missed the important 10 by a few years.
Oops.
And I think we've been married now 17 years, I think.
Right.
I'm going to take a stab at that. And for 17 years, I've been saying I want to get the date engraved inside my ring.
I'm surprised you didn't get torn a new one for saying it's an important one, this one, and not copying out, aren't they all important?
My wife is unuseful, so it's okay. It's just lucky I very rarely call her by my ex-wife's name, which is about. Because that always goes down well.
That would go down very well.
The first 10 years, my mum and dad kept referring to her as my ex-wife's.
Oh, ouch.
It made her feel special and want to go visit.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
So my 2 weeks have been mostly uneventful since we've had Easter, school holidays now. So looking at Daddy Daycare, which I'm told is also called Parenting by Richard Clark.
Right.
And so, yeah, so I'm looking, as always, that's always a joy to hang out with the kids for a few days. So that's kind of nice. But as I said, they're off on a singing, dancing, acting 2-day workshop.
Oh, nice. Now, so, nice.
Yeah, so that gets them out of my hair for a couple of days. Allows me to do the podcast. I've got a workshop this Saturday I've got to get organised for, and I've got some stuff with my Brisbane event to get organised. So
cool.
Yeah, so I've just got confirmation this morning that my Brisbane workshop is going to be held in an old colonial museum, not a museum, colonial, but there's an olden days place with like old tractors and wooden sheds.
So like a heritage listed kind of place.
It's a heritage. It's not just listed. It's a contrived museum kind of place.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Things in different areas, but they've got like a working blacksmith shop and all that kind of stuff. And be kind of nice. We'll have some fun there, I'm sure.
Cool.
It's going to give some nice backdrops to work with. So
yeah.
But I've been trying to organise that for a month, but they're only run by volunteers, and they're only there Wednesdays.
Oh, okay.
trying to get the confirmation's been a little bit driving me crazy, but we're finally sorted. So
right.
So that's my job for the next couple of hours whilst the kids are away. Talk to you. Finalise me and stuff.
Nice.
I will also be doing for any Queensland listeners, I will be doing a travel photography talk on Friday night. I think it's the 27th of April for Digital Canberra Warehouse. I'm not sure exactly where yet. They haven't told me what the location is. But
right.
So if anyone's up there and, Friday night the 27th somewhere. In Brisbane. I'll be doing a talk on travel photography.
Cool.
Info available when it's available and so on. Also spent the last couple of weeks trying to organise some things for our 400th episode.
Oh, okay. Giveaways. Yeah.
I'm very pleased to say that so far, we've got nothing. No. Everyone said, what? That crap? I'm not sponsoring that crap. No, the lovely people at Narbox, who's my portable computer for travelling with, they're giving us a Narbox to give away.
Oh, nice.
Seriously cool of them. It's now $300, which is very, very cool of them.
Right.
So they're giving us away one of those. People from Black Rapid look like they come in with a strap or two to give away. And,
fantastic.
Tamron and everyone, they're coming trying to find some things to give away for us as well. So we'll have some stuff to give away, which will be awesome.
Awesome. We'll have to work out how we're actually going to run the mechanics of that.
I think it would be we could come up with some good ideas. Okay. I'm trying to remember who sent it through. I think it might have been Rob Coates suggesting that we get people to take photos of how they listen to the podcast.
Nice.
And I said, well, we really want that many photos of people on the toilet. But, I think it's got some merit. Not the toilet bit, but maybe pretend you do it. Do a selfie of yourself listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that way, it shows you're an active listener. And we might actually get to see some people's faces and photos, which would be kind of nice.
Okay.
It's one idea. So if anyone else has got some ideas of how we can do the giveaways, let us know.
Cool.
Because we're not intelligent enough to come up with something ourselves. We do know a good idea when we see one.
That's right.
Now, another funny thing's been happening these last couple of weeks. Well, I realized it about a week ago.
Okay.
I've been listening to this podcast. I think I talked about it last episode, called My Dad Wrote a Porno.
Oh, my God. You have so much to answer for.
It's still awesome.
Oh. Kath and Max and I drove to Foster last weekend.
Are you listening with your son?
Yes.
Oh, no.
He's 17. He's old enough for that.
Yep.
But, man, we got through about 10 episodes on that drive.
Oh, awesome. I love it.
It is just laugh out loud crazy. We just could not stop laughing. It was hilarious.
Hilarious. It's great stuff. So there's three seasons. I've just finished listening to the whole lot and waiting for the start of season four.
Right.
And it just better, or so I say worse, worse as it goes on. It's seriously funny. But here's the weird thing. For about the last, I don't know, 10 episodes or so, I've been listening to those. And they do these things now called footnotes, which is when they get in between episodes, they get in celebrities who've into the show and they talk about their experiences and stuff. And it's really kind of cool. And they get in, like, doctors to talk about what's medically possible that this guy's coming up with versus not. But everything was getting really kind of weird. It was like they were getting really, really excited and really kind of rushing through everything. And it was at some point, so it was getting a little bit hard to listen to because it was just, they were speaking too fast.
Right.
And then I wanted my wife to listen to a piece, so I played it to her. She goes, why are they talking so fast? I said, I've got no idea. It's like she goes, well, I'm listening to the same episode and it's not that fast. And I listened to it at 1.5 speed.
Yep.
But their voices still sound normal, but it's like really, really quick.
Yep.
It's like listening to me talk all the time. And then I put it back to normal speed, and it was so boring.
Well, I quite often edit our podcast at 1.5 times real speed.
At 16 times,
but it's not. But it's not pitch corrected, so you and I sound like chipmunks.
Well, see, they sound fine.
And every time I laugh, it sounds like.
That's how it always sounds. To
me. No, it sounds worse. No, believe me.
Trust me. I've heard people say, "Wait." They say to me, "They say, Glenn, we love the show. Who's the chipmunk?" Yeah, it happens all the time. You know,
of course.
We could change the name, Glenn and Chipmunk. Chippy! But this sounded perfectly fine, other than the fact that it was fast.
Right.
I'm doing my head in just a little bit. Yeah, so if anyone out there who wants to actually listen to a good podcast, as opposed to this one.
It is hilarious.
My dad wrote a porno. It is, and it's not that dirty. It's not top porno.
There are bits.
There are bits, but yeah, so I wouldn't listen with my 17-year-old son, as an example. Most times I don't have one. That I don't know of. But yeah, but for us, slightly, I won't say more mature, but slightly older people, it's kind of good.
Yeah.
I've been doing a couple other bits as well. I've been researching, I'm looking at doing possibly second half of next year, a Southern India Sri Lanka tour.
Oh, nice.
With one of my many travel agents, but a guy who specializes in Sri Lanka and Southern India, and to look at maybe doing something there, which would be kind of cool. So I'm keeping an eye on that. Nice. And literally, just as we were about to record the podcast, which is why I was a minute or two late, the doorbell rang. Hmm. I went up, and there's this big brown box, and it was fairly heavy. And I said, well, I wasn't expecting anything, but I signed for it, and I came in, and there's no return address. It's some organics company was written on something. Oh, my God, phosphates, bomb. I'm a happy podcast listener. So I open up and start pulling out. There's like this organic tomato sauce. There's an organic this, organics that. I'm going, what the hell is this? There's all these jars, and all that was just in shredded paper wrapped in bubble wrap.
Right.
These individual jars of stuff. And so I pulled out like half a dozen jars, and finally this little bit of paper comes out. And I did for the second year in a row, the strangest judging of a photo competition that I've ever done for the Royal Agricultural Society, something like that. They have an award called the Laurels Award every year. It's for people who've had their work published over the course of the year on plants and gardens and horticulture. Horticulture Society, that might have been it.
Right.
You can lead a culture, but you can't make a drink, something like that. So for the second year in a row, I've judged the photos of people's plants and gardens, and just so completely alien to anything I do ever. And they sent me this lovely basket of stuff.
Right.
But it just amazes me that not only do they want me to do it once, they want me to do it a second time to judge photos of plants.
Yeah, right.
It's like, you met me? Are they that desperate to find people to do stuff for them? I'm not sure, but I was honoured. It was nice there. And last year they had a lovely black tie event to do the so it's like full on like awards ceremony kind of thing. But I couldn't make it last year. I'm hoping to make it this year and go in there and be a judge.
Nice.
So it's a funny thing. So that's been my 2 weeks anyway. And what have you been up to?
Just plugging away. Still looking for work. Trying to find some more clients that I can do work for out of my home studio. Applied for a job that I thought I was an absolute shoo-in for and got a rejection email yesterday saying I didn't even get an interview, which is kind of demoralizing. Yeah. But anyway, just keep plugging away. Haven't done any shooting other than the aforementioned family outing to Foster last weekend, which was just a get-together with some of Kath's brothers and their respective families and whatnot. However, on the Linux front, one of the things that has been a frustration to me over the 18 months or so that I've been on Linux is that GIMP, which is an acronym for the New Image Manipulation Program, which is widely considered amongst the open source...
Bruce, new spell N-E-W, Bruce.
No, it's not. It's G-N-U.
I know.
Yeah. Is widely considered amongst the open source community to be kind of the open source equivalent of Photoshop.
Yes. But
one of the key frustrations with GIMP is that it still, in 2018, does not support 16-bit images.
Disgraceful.
It is. It is disgraceful. I know
there's
they're working on it.
Free. Yeah. There's something get for free that people are prepared to work on, give away. They're just not keeping up. That's disgraceful. How very dare they? Yeah. That should be sacked.
Yeah, exactly. So, look, I know they're working on it, and I believe that the next major release of GIMP is supposed to support 16-bit TIFF files, which is at least a step in the right direction. So I've been looking around for another image editing program that would run on Linux that would allow the opening of 16-bit TIFF files. Because, you know, because I shoot RAW, so if I need to do something that requires multi-layer editing like you would do in Photoshop or GIMP, I want to be able to export a 16-bit TIFF file so you've got all of that extra dynamic range to work with when you're doing your multi-layer imaging and processing and compositing and whatever, and then be able to, you know, crunch it down to an 8-bit JPEG at the end.
Yeah.
And I came across a program, and I don't know how it's pronounced. It's K-R-I-T-A. So it might be Critter, it might be Krita, it might be Kriter. But it's K-R...
It could be K-Writer.
It could be that. K-Rita.
Krita.
So I don't know. Critter. Critter.org. Anyway. So this... I don't know. So it's a free open source alternative to Photoshop. It does paint layers and vector layers, which is pretty cool.
Vector.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. So if you're into the illustration side of things and you want to do layers that are vector rather than bitmap, which means that they scale without aliasing, it will do vector layers as well as normal paint layers. And I've got a link, which I'll put in the show notes, for things that Krita has over Photoshop. So I've been very impressed with it. And certainly for the Linux distribution of it, it comes as what they call an app image, which means that you download the app image, you then go into the properties and you tick the little box that says allow this to be executable. And then you just double-click on it, and the program runs. There's nothing to actually install. You just double-click on it, and boom, there it is. It's running, and it works beautifully, and it works with 16-bit TIFF files, and I'm absolutely over the moon. So although I've still got GIMP on my system, I haven't launched it in weeks because I'm now using this Krita.
The new one.
Yeah. So the reason I bring this up is because it is also available on Mac OS and Windows. So for anyone else who is looking for an alternative to Photoshop, I know a lot of people are disgruntled with Adobe's pricing policies. Certainly check this out. I'm very impressed with it.
Have you ever seen anyone who's gruntled?
No, I have not.
Surprises me. So many disgruntled people in the world. Yeah, yes. You think you'd at least bump into one person in your lifetime who's gruntled.
You would think so, wouldn't you?
I'm really gruntled about that.
Yes.
So. It doesn't come up.
But does gruntled mean that you're happy about it?
That's what I'm thinking. If you're unhappy being disgruntled, surely you're gruntled, you're happy.
Speaking of listener number four, Rob Coates, he sent us an email this week, said, "G'day, Inks. The attached link is more of a drone story than a photography one, but I found it interesting. A Russian enthusiast took his 1 kilogram drone to a height of 10,000 meters, or 33,000 feet, all the while running its video camera. The associated YouTube footage shows the entire 26-minute flight above the snow-covered landscape, although I must admit I skipped through it." So did I, Rob. "Shows how far miniature drone technology has come, but begs the question of the dangers, such as activities posed to other aircraft. The article says that Russia doesn't have a height limit for drone flight." Yeah. I'm with you, Rob. I sort of skipped through the 26 minutes of it. I'm not sure that he actually got to 10,000 meters because in the top right-hand corner, he's got an inset of the screen data, and you can actually see the altitude on the left-hand side, and it looks to me like it only got to about 7,000 meters. Even so, that's impressive.
He might have started from 3,000 meters up.
Oh, no. You actually see it take off.
Yeah, but top of a mountain.
Oh, I see what you're saying. They might have been at 3,000 metres above sea level.
He might have been at his elevation, may have already been 3,000 metres.
I don't think it was because he takes off right next to a river. which is a long winding river, so it's not like it's belting down a mountain. So, but yeah, it's pretty cool because you see it go all the way.
7,000 meters is still pretty impressive.
That is very impressive.
One of the big issues though with any sort of height like that is temperature. So it gets pretty dark cold, into minus 40s and whatever down there, and your battery's not going to operate.
Yep. Well, this thing ran for 26 minutes, and that's the entire flight. So it did well to go 26 minutes, as you say, you know, dealing with the extreme colds at that temperature.
Yeah.
And there's a few moments in the video where you see it struggling to maintain its equilibrium. It sort of flips upside down for a moment. But it does right itself.
It's amazing.
It's pretty impressive. And he navigates it all the way back to the car where they're standing on this highway in the middle of nowhere in Russia. You actually see it come right back to the car where it took off from. So that's impressive as well. To go 7 kilometres up and then to come back. I mean, like most drones, probably got a homing beacon that will bring it back to, you know, where it took off from. Because you would think, you know, with the sort of winds that it would have encountered during that 26-minute flight and over that level of altitude, there'd be a lot of potential for it to drift, horizontally a long way from where it took off.
Absolutely.
But to get it right back to its takeoff point was pretty impressive. So thank you, Rob. Very interesting video, even if I didn't watch all 26 minutes of it frame by frame. So that link will be in the show notes for anyone that wants to check that one out. Carl sent us one. Hey guys, some nice UK accents in this podcast about photography, soccer, life and more. Carl, you can't go promoting other photography podcasts on this photography podcast. Link will be in the show notes for anyone who wants to listen to it. So
he shoots, he draws.
Yes, he shoots, he draws podcast. He says, listen to episode 7, The Legend in All of Us. So I did have a listen.
And?
That was a week and a half ago. I don't remember what it was about. But it was good, as I recall.
At least it's not just about photography. I mean, it's about soccer, life and more, where we are very strict. You know, we're only going to talk very specifically about current trending, Twitter trending type photography-related subjects and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so at least we're more and, on not, yeah.
And school holidays.
And
podcasts about pornos. Adam sent us a couple of stories. First one, photographer sparks armed manhunt after being mistaken for a sniper. Now, admittedly, this happened in Ireland, where they have a thing about guns. This astrophotographer was on a beach at night. Why would anyone think that a person on a beach at nighttime was a sniper is beyond me. But anyway, someone saw him with his photography gear, mistakenly thought that he was a sniper, called the police, and they dispatched the SWAT team to go and check out this guy. Anyway.
Well, it's funny you should mention, because in another page on DIY Photography Net, they're talking about a case from September 2017 where a photographer was shot by a police officer for mistaking his camera and tripod for a gun.
Ouch.
And the court case is, the grand jury just decided that the policeman will not face criminal charges for injuring the photographer.
Wow.
So the guy pulled over to take photos of a traffic stop.
Yeah.
He set up the camera on a tripod. Well, yeah, really. And reports say that the cop mistook it for a gun and shot him twice without a warning.
Right.
So not even bang. It was pretty much bang, stop or I'll shoot.
Yeah, right.
Yes, yeah. One bullet struck him in the chest, the other grazed his shoulder.
Was this in Victoria?
This is in America. And
Victorian police have a bit of a reputation.
The good thing is that the policeman for once had his body camera turned on.
Oh, right.
So you can see, and you can hear that there'd been no warning before he just started shooting.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he's getting away with
it. Yeah, so he got away with no criminal charges. But the guy got shot, suing him for $75,000, which seems relatively cheap for America.
Yeah.
But the Clark County, the place, the actual county's lawyers believe that he reasonably thought the camera to be a weapon, and therefore he was within his rights to shoot him.
Unbelievable.
See, back in like the early 80s, we working at a company, camera store called Fletcher's Photographics, yep. we used to sell this Russian lens that had a pistol grip, like a so it looked like a shotgun.
Oh no,
yeah, like a gun.
What could possibly go wrong?
I know. And I remember we sold one to a guy who pulled it out when the Queen was visiting.
Oh, what?
And massive uproar. And yeah, it was a bit of a, yeah, the police piled on him and thought he was going to try and assassinate the Queen. So, but yeah, that was a fairly common accessory to sell in those days.
It
was
this
magic lens with this. It was like, it was almost like a Tommy gun. I had two handles like a machine gun, like a Tommy gun. And yeah, it's never ever going to go wrong with that.
So. Jeez. Unbelievable. The next one from Adam, this was on Petapixel. Insect photographer sues pest control company for $2.7 million. This guy's got some really great macro photography, yeah. And he came across a website that was using one of his images. They hadn't reached out to him. He wrote to them, said, basically, you're using my images without permission. The response he got was, I received your letter and did my research into it. It looks like one of our outsourced content writers was taking images off Google. Internally, we use Shutterstock and the policy of only using that. I'm working on getting them all removed. But months later, the images had still not been removed. So this guy has filed a suit with the whoever it is that you file a suit with, for $150,000 for each image, with 18 infringements in total, so a total of $2.7 million. Whether he'll get anywhere, I don't know, but yeah, just another story of, yep, images being used without permission.
Yeah.
Goes on and on and on.
It just happens absolutely everywhere, doesn't it?
It certainly does. The next one, I don't know if, I think we've covered this. This is copy photo styles with NVIDIA's AI.
Is that from Adam?
Yeah.
Adam, wake up during the podcasts. Dude, last episode or the one before, we did this exact same thing.
I thought we did.
Don't snooze through the podcast, dude. It's like, try and keep awake through the whole thing.
It's a challenge.
I think he's got early onset senility. Not only that, I think he's also got early onset senility.
Right. Nice. Now, you've sent me a link for Narbox 2.
Yes, yeah, so that my lovely mates at Narbox have just launched, literally yesterday, the Kickstarter program for the new Narbox, Narbox 2, which will be out in December this year.
Okay.
That's not the one we're giving away. We're giving away Narbox 1, which is still a very cool tool.
Okay.
Narbox 2 is the all-improved, even more betterer version.
Now, I notice the headline says Narbox 2 SSD. Was the first one a spinning drive?
No, it was flash memory.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they've gone from flash memory to SSD.
Which is essentially the same stuff.
Well, kind of, yeah. It's just, I think it's just configured differently, but SSDs allow greater storage capacity.
Right, okay.
So the new version is going to have like 128, 256, 512, or 1 terabyte options.
Nice.
So the 1 terabyte is very, very appealing. I'm looking forward to getting myself one of those.
Why? You only shoot JPEG.
Yeah, but I don't clear stuff off.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, I might have stuff from 2 or 3 trips on there. So it's just a good thing to have. More's better, Bruce. Don't you know? I'm a man. More, bigger, faster, more.
Right. Okay.
Need the biggest. Need the loudest.
So, of course.
But some other improvements are it has a little LED panel on it. So you can see, so back in the olden days, it used to be this old device, I don't know, 10 years ago as a spinning portable hard drive.
Right.
You take your compact flash card in, you'd put it in there, press a button, and it would transfer straight to the hard drive.
Yep.
And on the little LED display, you'd see that the capacity would go down. So you kind of knew it had transferred over.
Yep.
That was kind of your check. So they've come back with it. They've pretty much brought that system back. Where nice. With the old Narbox, you had to turn on your phone and transfer, which wasn't a pain, but it was a little bit slower. Mm. This is now a faster transfer. You can do it just with one button press on the device, which is good. But probably the biggest improvement, other than the storage capacity for me, is removable batteries. So you can carry more than one battery. So if you're away from power for a fair few days and you want to transfer a lot of information several times. And remember, if you're like a GoPro guy or whatever, you're filming you know, lots of big data. So you know, if you've only got one battery and it's only got a few hours of runtime, it's pretty easy to run out whilst being away for a while. So having the ability to carry a few batteries with you,
nice, nice.
And the next big thing is they'll be bringing out 4 new apps to run with it, which is going to streamline the whole process.
Right.
More dedicated video apps, more dedicated like RAW preview apps if you're a RAW shooter. Because the problem with RAW, of course, is they're big files, and by the time if you load up 1,000 RAW files, it takes a long time for the previews to come up.
Yeah.
So this whole new program is going to rapidly change that and make it much more accessible.
Yeah. Just reading off that Petapixel article, this new device also brings new third-party integrations, including Adobe Lightroom for photo work and Luma Fusion, Adobe Premiere Pro, and Final Cut Pro for video. And there's also a Dropbox integration for syncing your images to the cloud. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's got, and once again, they're still talking to the community saying, well, what else do you want? Do you want Google Drive synchronization? Yep. And so they're looking at all these other options as well. But the amazing thing is, so their Kickstarter started yesterday. It had reached its target in 35 minutes.
Wow.
So, which is pretty astounding. All they wanted was $75,000 US.
Yeah.
Reached it in 35 minutes. They're now at, I've got Australian dollars here, they're now at over $575,000 Australian.
Whoa.
In a day.
So that's like 4 times their goal.
Yeah, in one day.
Nice. Wow.
So in fact, it's probably like 5.5 times their goal.
Right.
Because $75,000 US is roughly $100,000 Australian. So
yeah,
they're
yeah,
five
right.
seven
yeah,
times
yeah, of course. Of course.
6 times their goal. In less than a day.
Jeez.
So to the point where they've had to, because almost everything's sold out, all the rewards are sold out, they've started some new rewards.
Right.
And that's just one example. It only went out today. There was 250 of this one. There's only 149 of that left already.
Wow.
That's pretty quick. This one's got 196 of 250. These all started out overnight.
Yeah.
169, 250 left. Pledge $500 or more.
3,000 backers in a day. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. It shows how in demand this type of product is. And then people, typical. So this got on Petapixel because it was trending so much. And then all the typical Petapixel whingers and moaners came out. And, but it doesn't do this or that why does it have to wait till December? Because
it takes time to develop a product.
Exactly. And you got to build the damn things.
Yeah. That's the price you pay for getting in on the ground floor. It's not walk into the shop and buy it today.
So some guy posted on their Facebook page, because I think the 1 terabyte version is, when it comes out, not Kickstarter price, but it's going to be like $9.99 US.
Right.
And people are going, well, it's just so expensive. I can buy a 1 terabyte drive for $69. I said, it's not an SSD drive.
Yeah.
Go and find me a 1 terabyte portable SSD drive for under $500. And,
exactly.
You know, I'll be amazed.
Yeah.
Especially for a good quality one. And then it's not just a storage device. It's a computer. It's a quite a cool bloody computer. You know?
Yeah. And a micro SD and SD reader as well.
It's got more stuff than anything else going around.
Yeah.
You know what? As you say, unless you're doing a lot of video, you don't need a terabyte.
No.
In fact, you could buy the 128 gig one and buy an external 1 terabyte drive for your $69 and just connect that.
Yeah.
You'll get for $299 for this thing.
I'm just looking at the specs for it. So a quad core 2.2 gigahertz CPU.
2.4.
With an 8-core 3D GPU. So that's your graphics processing unit. 4 gigs of DDR3 RAM. This is the specs for the 128 gig flash storage. Obviously, that's variable depending on the model. 2 USB 3 ports, an SD slot, a micro SD slot, 6 to 8 hours of continuous battery life, waterproof to 1 meter.
That's the old version.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because the new one... the new one is USB-C, not USB-3.
Oh, okay. And connects up to 100 feet away with Wi-Fi. So, you're getting a hell of a lot of, Glyn's favourite word, functionality in that device. you know, as you say, that's what you're paying for. It's not just a hard drive.
There's an awful lot in there. Yeah, the new one's USB-C,
right,
not
okay.
USB-3, yep. Which obviously is more future compatible.
Yep.
Means I've got to get a bunch of new cables. Because my SSD drives all run on USB 3 standard B or something it's called.
Right. Port.
Which is a different shape port again altogether than the normal USB port. So, but right. Luckily, I found you can get USB-C to USB standard B,
yep,
bloody ports, which is fortunately. But yeah, this one's also got HDMI output as well, so you can back it onto a
right.
monitor or onto a TV screen.
Have you got a link for the new Kickstarter? Because I'm not sure whether the Kickstarter page I'm looking at is the old one or the new one. I would. Well,
does the box have like little stripy lines down the side of it and a little screen saying Narbox?
I'm seeing the preview of the video, which doesn't have that. So no, it's not. You're right. This is the old one.
Let me send through that to you right this very minute. Paste.
Because I just searched Narbox and Kickstarter and went to the first thing that came up. But that's, as you say, that's the old version.
The olden, which was also pretty amazing stats anyway.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But the waterproof, you had to be a little bit careful with, because my mate Simon Pollock decided to test it in, he didn't quite read what it was supposed to be waterproof to.
Right.
And promptly flooded it.
Oops.
Which we all laugh about, of course. As you do.
Yeah, right. So now I'm looking at the correct version of the Kickstarter. So it's 981 backers, not 3,000 backers. But even so, close on 1,000 people under 24 hours.
That was 3,000 after 30-odd days. This is
now
1,000 after
24 hours. Yeah.
Yeah, which is quite amazing. Yeah. It's got a lot of. So if you do travel stuff, I highly recommend looking at it.
Yeah.
And if you can get in on the Kickstarter, I mean, Kickstarter, some of the rewards were just fabulous. You're getting, I think the 1 terabyte one's only $5.99
instead of
$9.99. Yeah. Which is just crazy cheap, you know. But yeah. I think most of the stuff's gone. But they were launching some new ones, and I have got fabulously. They've got a kit with a hoodie, a t-shirt, and a hat.
Nice.
I'm getting one of those sent to me, which is lovely because I like. I told them myself, I'm a free t-shirt whore. Send me this. So I'll be doing some stuff for Narbox at Photo Plus in New York in October. If anyone's in that region wants to come stay,
awesome.
I'll be doing. Not quite sure exactly what, but we'll be doing something there. Some travel related thing there, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love it. I can't wait to get this new one. I'm hoping that mine arrives before the real world peoples do.
Right.
It would be rather nice if I get it sort of before my next trip to India would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, it was April Fool's whilst we were away. I've been having a little flick through some of the best April Fool's jokes.
Uh-huh. Yep.
One Bob came out with camera suitcases that's the shape of my cameras.
Right.
So you'll recognize your suitcase. Which is pretty good. One Bob I thought was kind of funny. They're offering lunar landscape workshops.
Right.
So you've got to take views of Earth from a perspective like a few others. Right. It said you'll need a Nikon SLR, DSLR I should say, a weighted tripod, some sunscreen, dehydrated meals and lodging are included in the price. $1,225,000. So I would have actually taken them up on that. So I'll pay the mill, you take me to the moon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I remember years ago I was living in Vancouver in like mid-90s, and right. Pepsi had this promotion on where you underneath your cap of your Pepsi you get points.
Oh, okay.
And you collected all these points and you could buy like t-shirts and all sorts of other prizes, stereos and stuff. But they went all the way to like something like, oh, and if you get, and the advert said sort of jokingly, as this jet fighter flies over the top, you get this jet fighter for only 16 million points.
Oh.
And some guy calculated what 16 million points would cost versus the price of the jet was.
Yeah.
Got together a syndicate and bought the 16 million points. You could buy points to top up.
Yeah.
And they had to settle out of course. Very funny.
Oops.
Advertising company's probably not being used by Pepsi again, I'm thinking. You put out these little April Fool's jokes and offering a trip to the moon for $1 million. Be careful.
Yeah.
Someone put out a cat, slightly camouflaged version of the new Nikon retro-style mirrorless camera spotted in the real world, and it turns out it was just a chocolate cake.
Right.
Okay. It's a chocolate made shaped like a camera, right. But it had a few people going.
Right.
So the Adobe put one out. I want to watch the video now because I have to read the description. Adobe released a 3-minute video profiling the work of a 7-year-old named Christopher Timmons, who has mastered Photoshop CC for digital photo manipulation art. Christopher's favorite and only word is meow. So the interview. This is kind of funny. Sony introduced the all-new A6700.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, which is a whole bunch of...
12K video.
Yeah, but it does full HD at 240 frames a second, ultra-high definition at 120, 6K video at 60 frames a second. Fabulous stuff. And then Nikon came out with a camera with a smile filter.
Okay.
When you smile, the stupid thing is, Sony actually have a smile filter, a smile function on the camera that they won't take the phone until someone's smiled.
Right.
Which I thought is gold.
Speaking of that, it's slightly related. I was watching a video the other day for the new Sony A7 III. And the eye focus on that is just phenomenal.
Yeah, I reckon that's its real strength if you're a portrait photographer.
Yeah.
But that would be the thing that would sway me.
Yeah.
Is that the eye focus is exceptionally good.
Ortiz it was, that's right. It was Manny Ortiz, and his wife is quite photogenic, and they were out shooting on the streets of Chicago, I think it was, and he was showing the eye focus tracking her as she was walking towards him, you know, at a decent speed, and him capturing her at, you know, shallow depth of field whilst walking, and
that's a portrait shooter. That's the thing that I would, because I'm crap at focusing on eyes.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, that really is quite appealing, but I can't see it happening anytime.
Not enough to make you jump ship, though, mate.
Well, the problem is, Tamarons don't have lenses for them.
Right.
Yeah. I might be tempted if I could get kids out all my lenses for nothing.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not going to happen. So, we'll be sticking with the old Canon or whoever from now on.
So tell me about your last link, the prosthetic photographer.
Well, I thought it was another April Fool's joke.
Right.
Yeah, so I thought, here we go. But but when I realised that it was an artist's idea, that I knew it was some idiot rather than an April Fool's joke. So this guy's come out with this device that sits atop your camera.
Yeah.
And your camera has like a little pistol grip that you attach. It's a pistol grip under the camera. Yeah. This device goes on top. And it basically scans the scene that you're looking at and uses its logarithms of previous photos to say, well, I recognize the type of scene you're doing. And it won't let you take a bad photo of the scene.
Right.
Well, it will, but if you try and take it, it gives you an electric shock. And so you get it in the best position. So it makes you slow down to give me a shock.
Are you sure this isn't an April Fool's joke?
Well, this is what I thought. I thought, okay, it's April, but no, it didn't come out on April the 1st. And because it's an artist, it made me think, okay, well, this is awesome.
That's classic. So
until you get it lined up right, you get electrocuted. It's classic. Absolutely classic.
I'm thinking that's an April Fool's joke.
No, because it didn't come out of April Fool's. One good April Fool's was that the national parks at night, new day for night filters,
right,
which is a filter on your camera and allows you to shoot nighttime photos in the day. Star trails and all, which is hilarious. But they were the funniest ones I saw in the old April Fool's stuff. So
nice. Excellent.
Is that it?
I think we're done.
Else? Yeah. So, people, you've got to come up with some ideas for our 400. It's been sadly lacking.
We've got to work out how we're going to give away this stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's got to be stuff. There'll be some goodies. There'll be hundreds of dollar. Otherwise, just have to give it to Bruce, and that's not much fun. So I came up with some ideas. I'm still liking the selfie idea because you get to see people. But let's go from there.
Definitely. All right, mate. Will you have a good week?
I will indeed. Talk to you next week.
We will do that.
Bye, everybody.
See you, mate.
ShutterZincPodcast.com.
AnotherAudioToYou.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShutterZincPodcast.com.